Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a More Than Just Podcast production.
Welcome to episode 348 of the More Than Just Go podcast. My name is Tim Mitra. I'm in Toronto, Ontario. And I just want to give a quick update before we head into WWDC in a couple of weeks. We're 2 weeks out at this point from the big event on June 6th. And so just want to catch up with you guys on that. First up is a bit of fact check. The last time we were on the show, I mentioned Stomping Tom Connors and referencing Saturday Night Hockey or Hockey Night in Canada. In fact, I got that fact wrong as well. It's actually the hockey song is the song that most of us Canadians know as Stomping Tom's tribute to hockey. And the Saturday Night reference is in reference to a song that he wrote called Sudbury Saturday Night, which is pretty much about how a lot of smaller communities get together and have a good time on Saturday night at the bars, that kind of thing. I also forgot to mention that when I was talking about iPhone rental discussion, we were talking about the possibility of Apple renting phones to people. But back in the day, I used to rent Macs to people who didn't want to pay like full price for a computer, just needed it for a project or something like that. And so when I was a reseller, I would rent them a computer with the option to buy it later on if they wanted. I would add a percentage to the monthly cost. So in other words, I'd break down what I thought the value of the computer was, and then I would, mark it up just a touch, make some money. Essentially I had to pay for the computer up front and carry the risk of the person not paying me back or returning the computer or whatever. And if the customer had bought the device, I would at some point credit back a portion of what they'd paid in rent. So, from the point of view of renting equipment, I think the understanding is if you're using it for a short period of time, you're not fully investing in the piece. So I could see why Apple or someone like that would add a little bit of a percentage to stay in business. This next story is a bit of follow up, and it has to do with driver's licenses in the Wallet app. And this just arrived today in my inbox or on Twitter actually. That Maryland has now added the ability to add your driver's license to your phone. You can use it at TSA or you can use it to show police. They just have to unlock your phone to get at it. This is in addition to other states that were announced to do this, Arizona, Colorado, Hawaii, Mississippi, Ohio, and as well as Puerto Rico. And Apple had previously also said that Georgia, Connecticut, Iowa, and Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Utah would be doing digital licensing on the phones. And I'm not 100% sure about Canada, but I think that I've heard rumors of it being in the works, but I don't know nothing about that in Ontario where I live. So that's it. Now, with respect to WWDC, maybe you don't know this, but there was a lottery to go and attend the event. to see a screening of the keynote and the platform State of the Union at Apple Park in, I assume, the Steve Jobs Theater. There's also a new developer center that's being opened up, and so people can go there and check that out. So it's not actually, you're not actually at the live keynote, but you're at a screening of it. Still a, you know, great event to get together if you can afford it, to go and hang out with other developers. I mean, people like Paul Hudson are going to be there. I happen to know because he just tweeted that he's got one of the invites. I didn't get an invite. Nobody that we know of on the MTJC Slack or even the host got an invite. But the point of this I wanted to tell you is that you can now book special tours if you're lucky enough to be going there to get a tour, including Apple Park Hills, the fitness center, presumably the developer center. We're not 100% sure about that, as well as you know, attending the screening of the keynote and the platform State of the Union, which is an hour earlier this year. Normally it used to be at 2 p.m. after lunch kind of thing at regular WWCs, but this year it is at an hour earlier. So that would be 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time. If you're like me, you can be watching it then. I used to be on at 5 p.m. But yeah, so check it out. There's a link here in the show notes about that if you happen to be going. And of course, you can follow Paul Hudson, who of course is tweeting about this regularly. And of course, he'll be going like a madman during the, during the event. Just a couple of quick picks. I actually did want to talk about the iPhone 14 renders. John Prosser had posted a YouTube video today. One of his friends has done, I'm sorry, I got the name of the guy who did it, but he did some renders of 3D renders of the iPhone 14 as they believe it will, iPhone 14 Pro as they believe it will appear in purple, which is apparently the color that has been, you know, somewhat confirmed, I'm doing air quotes, by Ming-Chi Kuo and a few other people. And so we're not really sure what that's going to look like in terms of purple, whether it'll be mauve or it'll be the purple rain. Hopefully, Jaime wants it to be the purple rain phone, of course, but or, you know, the color of the Joker's jacket and in the Dark Knight. But we'll if it's anything like the IMAX, where the lighter color is on the front of the screen and the dark, deeper colors on the back, you might be disappointed. Another thing in the rendering that's kind of cool is, or maybe cool, I don't know, is that there's a circle and a sort of a ellipsis where the camera and the lidar or the face scanner and front facing camera and proximity sensor are going to be on the front and no longer in a notch. It's going to just be holes cut. You can see them in the renders, cut into the device. Arguably bigger than the notch, like taking up more space. But you know what? I've argued this before. I don't see the notch when I'm, unless I'm looking right at it and it really notice it kind of thing. Maybe when I'm watching a movie or something like that in landscape, I might notice the notch is there. And I got a couple of quick picks here. I will do Jaime's pick as well since he's not here today. So Daniel Punkass, Daniel Jelka of Red Sweater fame. He has posted this link about whenever you upload an app to the App Store, you may notice that you get challenged to explain whether or not you're using encryption in your app. Apple has issues with exporting across different borders and stuff like that, different kinds of encryption. So you have to disclose whether you're using it or not. That said, there is a variable you can put into your InfoP list to say whether or not you do in fact use this. It's ITS app uses non-exempt encryption, and that's the actual key. And I think the English translations are very similar to that, but I'd forgotten about this because I had heard about this many, many years ago. And I've, like in my apps, for instance, I don't use any encryption. So I have always put that key in with a value of no. That way, when I upload my build to the App Store for test flight or for release, I don't see the challenge about whether or not you put that in there. But anyway, so there's a link here to Daniel's tweet and also to the documentation on the Apple developer site talking about that. But like I said, the simplest thing I'd done is I just added it, set it to no, because, you know, and I've done that in all of the apps that I've published. I just checked them this morning. I just checked them a little while ago before I got in here. Jaime's pick this week is is a young lad named Jaime Lopez Jr. who is being hosted on the Engineering Leader, talking about building a great engineering team. So he talks about banking and fintech, which is stuff that Jaime's a big fan of. And I'm just trying to get the name of the host. I should know this because he's may appear on a future episode. Steve, I believe it. I'm going to go with Steve. We'll basically correct this. Oh, Steve Westgarth from the UK. Jaime met him at when he was at iOS Dev UK, I think, a few years ago, and talked about, you know, his career, and talked about, you know, building great teams and different things that he believes you should do. So check out that episode. That's Jaime's pick for this week. You know, shameless plug for him. By the time this airs, you may have missed the Swift UI series. That is a series of day-long challenges that are being published to, you basically have to sign up for it, but they're like live YouTube sessions. There's a daily challenge and you get to build different things like work on Swift UI animations. There's one on workarounds and a few other things like that. Maybe I'll just open the page here and have a look at it. Probably should share my screen, but that would be too much. That would make too much sense, right? So they did a speed run earlier. Today's was an animation. Tomorrow is macOS in Swift UI and accessibility on Friday. So unfortunately, by the time you get this, yeah, this will be over. But that said, you can still catch the videos on the YouTube. So definitely check that out if you can. And a couple of things. Actually, I want to show you once. So I have a link in the show notes for this one, but I just got this. I just received this app icon book by Michael Flaher out of Denmark. It is, if you're into iOS art and like I am, this is a great book. It's got, various app designs in here, icon designs, I should say. Like, you know, it's got some of our favorite people like James Thompson. You know, here's like a whole series on the evolution of Twitterific. Few other things. It also comes with this little cool little handy dandy stencil, which lets you create a thumbnail for your icons. Anyway, so like here's like, you know, Alto's Adventure, for example. And it's just the evolution of this new basically an art form. I mean, you know, since we've started doing apps didn't exist, you know, until like 2007, 2008. And yeah, this is a great tribute, sort of like an art book, but a nice little shiny cover. But yeah, it's definitely worth getting. I, to be honest with you, I think I paid around, I want to say $80 US for it. And then, of course, you know, I got nailed another $35 for duty and taxes coming into the country. And then DHL lost it and delivered it to the wrong house. So I had to run down the street and grab that. Anyways, so check out the iOS app icon book. And actually, maybe I will share my screen for this next one. The next link I've got here is it's a couple of things, actually. One is, and I skipped over this one here, some tutorial apps or tutorials that Apple has published. These are from some macOS apps. So if you haven't seen these already, this is exploring Swift UI sample apps, various different ones, you know, like navigating, presenting content, responding to user input, working with grids. Let me just go into some of these here. So yeah, like if you go into Date Planner, they have this this cool little date planner. Walks you through very similar to the Swift UI tutorials that we had last couple of years. As you scroll through this side over here, it highlights as it talks about the different parts of the app, like, you know, state object and, you know, building navigation views and that kind of stuff. And what's cool about it is it ties into not only Xcode, but also ties into my other pick, which is the fact that the Swift UI or Swift Playgrounds has now been updated for macOS to support apps. Like, so for instance, here's the app that I created a couple months ago. This is an app created right in Playgrounds. Come on. Nope. What is going on? Yeah, there we go. So this is an app that full disclosure, Paul Hudson published this, and so I just sort of cribbed it. But you can see here if it ever launches, it's much faster on the M1. But this is my Intel, and is it going to preview? Come on, you can do it. So anyway, the point is that you can now build. You have to have macOS 12.4 installed, and you have to have this version of Playgrounds, which I believe is 4.1, which just came out this week, beginning of this week. And so you can basically build apps directly in here by, you know, just going into here and just create a new app right there in, you know, there you go, give it a name, you know, change the name of the app, give it an icon, that kind of stuff. And yeah, you build yourself a nice little app. So what's cool about the project files here from these things on the sample apps that Apple's got, you click on them and download them to your downloads folder. And when you open, oh, this is interesting. You get a Swift package manager file, right? So if I double click on this, it opens right into Swift Playgrounds app, right? And then you can basically look at the content and get a preview of it, hopefully, if it ever runs. Of course, I did this on recording on my Intel machine, so I should have used my M1, which, there you go. So there's a preview of it right there. You know, I can come in here and I can play around. I can look at the code. I can examine, you know, like the event detail view and see how that's put together. A little bit of advice on how Apple, you know, handles the different models. Here's the actual app itself. You can see that they're creating an event data state object here. And then you've got this event list, which is the first view that will appear in the app. So head over to event list view. So this is basically like what we used to be calling a table view controller. So now it's a Swift UI list, and you see that over here in the app itself. So, you know, then you've got like, you push to a detailed view. You know, you can choose a color. Let's choose red. Let's choose a sound icon. You can give it a name. So record podcast. You know, I can choose a time. Let's say, let's do it for midnight tonight. I want to put it in the future, basically. And then I can hit add. And there you go. There's my item there. If, for instance, here, WWDC, I can go in and edit the date on this guy. Make it 2021. Yeah, and so that moves the WWDC up to the next 30 days or so. So anyway, it's kind of cool. You can play around with how they've done that. You can look at how they're doing this Swift UI symbols for these guys here, and that's cool. And if you want to, you can, this might mess up my recording. Yeah, maybe not. You can also come in here, and if you don't want to see it in Playgrounds, you can open it right up into Xcode. Ooh, oh yeah, here we go. Install component. isn't this wonderful? Always practice your demos before you do them live, kids. That's the lesson here. And will this open this file? Yeah. So my point is, if you don't have, if you're not running Xcode, or if you're not running Swift Playgrounds, you want to work in Xcode, you want to have code completion, you want to have things like that. You can, of course, open them up in here. And again, I can also go to this guy, and I should be able to get canvas view coming here. Oops, it's probably my version of Xcode. Yeah, probably too old. I was trying this out on my M1, which has got the latest version. Yeah, 3.13.1. Yeah, that's pretty stale. So here you can see in this Xcode, there's the app loaded up in miracle of screen sharing. You can see that's my M1 Mac. Oops, make this back. I won't make it bigger. Anyway, so yeah, same sort of deal. You can play around with the app, renders right away. And of course, if I open it up Swift Playgrounds. Yeah. Thanks. If I click on this, then, by the way, I'm talking to myself. Come on. There you go. Okay. Yeah. So you can see this guy, and you can see on the M1, it renders right away. So it's super nice on the M1, you know, that's an M1 Air. And you can see the different pictures of people that, and this is again, this Paul Hudson example that he put up called Friend Face a few months ago. I'll put a link in the show notes for that one as well. So that's pretty much my picks for this week. So it's sample apps from Apple, Swift Playgrounds 4.1, which basically means you can build apps now on your iPad Pro with your keyboard and your mouse, or your pencil, and you can use, you know, your Mac to do Swift Playgrounds and the idea is, you know, you publish apps for iPad and iPhone written right on the iPad device if you want, or you can build them in, you build apps, Swift UI apps directly in on your Mac now, without using Xcode, right? So for what that's worth. And of course, you know, I don't know, I think I probably cross borders on both sides. I probably would want to do some tweaking in Xcode. The other thing too about that is what I'm neglecting to tell you as well, is you can start a project on Swift Playgrounds and then move it over to Xcode to sort of polish it up, and so on and so forth. So yeah, check that out. And I believe, let me just check my notes. Where is my Safari? Here's the date planner here. I was playing with it earlier, trust and open. And you can see right away on the M1, it's generates preview right away. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. So definitely there's an advertisement for getting an M1 versus sticking with the Intel. So yeah, pitter patter, get at her. Yeah. So that's it for another week of MTJC. My name is Timitra, T-I-M-M-I-T-R-A on the Twitter machines where you'll find me. And until next time, we'll see you in the future. Bye.
This has been another episode of the More Than Just Code podcast. If you want to find out more about the show, you can visit the More Than Just Code website at mtjc.fireside.fm. There you can find a summary and show notes of each episode. We list links to the apps, code, and news that we mentioned on the show. If you like the podcast, tell your friends, leave a comment on the website, or write a review on iTunes. And please recommend us in your favorite podcatcher. All of these things help others find out about the show. We really appreciate your help with spreading the word. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you, so use the hashtag AskMTJC, and we may mention you on the show. Friends of the show can also join us on the podcast Slack channel. Once again, the podcast Twitter account is at MTJC_podcast. Please consider supporting the show by pledging any amount on patreon.com/MTJC. Every dollar pledged helps a lot. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.